This is a gathering of for islah, rectification and purification. And this majlis, this gathering, is connected to islah batin, the rectification of the inner soul, the batin. And due to this, in other words, the cleaning, the purification of our inner state. This is tazkiyah batin, purification of the batin. And for this, for tazkiyah of the batin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for us to clean our batin, purify our batin, has prescribed to us various ways and methods. From which one method also, and it is a very beneficial method, and that is that those that who have already trod on this path and who have followed this course and who have reached to their destination, that we should experience, go through their life experiences, and we should update ourselves with regards to their lives, read about their lives, hear about their lives, analyze their lifestyles and their achievements, and how they implemented the subject of tazkiyah, how they purified their wabatin and their inner state, and how they presented themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they prepared themselves to prepare them to present themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hear about them, the pious predecessors, to read about them, to revise about them, is also a very beneficial and good method of tazkiyah. Very beneficial and good method of purification for ourselves. And for this, very quickly, the effects are seen on the heart. And people like us, weak people, who are not spiritually strong, who become weak at different times and more weak at different times. But when we read about the walis of Allah, listen to the facts, then taqwa increases, encouragement increases, and we receive more determination that we should also do something. So, in other words, the lives of the awliya Allah give us a unique example, and to hear about them, to speak about them, rather it is stated that this is also ibadah, worship. These are those people, our pious predecessors, who left an example for us to follow, that look how we did mujahada, how we made effort, and then we get taqwa, taqwiyat, we get encouragement, we get a drive and a push, that look, they were like us, they were human beings, they also had a wife and a children, they used to earn and eat and drink and try to make a living, but alhamdulillah, how they suppressed their desires. And within some days they made effort in this world and they left an example for us in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, mashallah, they were successful themselves because their life, if we look at their life, then various things we will see in their lives. Now, the summary of their lives, you can say, is that all their lives, they had a clash and they fought against their supreme enemy, which is their own desires. Yeah, so the supreme enemy of man is his own base desires. Now, when you start to oppose the person that's against you, then you get closer to your destination. The nafs, in other words. So if we don't look at our desires, and if we don't identify our desires and overcome them, we cannot reach to the success. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَ وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَ. They understood this point, just like there are you individuals and brothers and me, and we all should listen to this and understand this. We also want our lives to be like that, don't we? Good. So by looking at their lives and understanding their lives, well, what did they do? Allah Ta'ala accepted them, gave them high levels, and Allah made them near to Him. What ibadah did they do? What worship did they do? What was it they do? And you'll see one thing common denominator in all of their lives, any wali of Allah, any sheikh, pious predecessor, and that common denominator is that they fought against their nafs, their base desires. They exposed their nafs and they fought their nafs, because it's the nafs, the desires, that destroys a person. The biggest enemy of mankind is his own desires. The person who follows his desires, who listens to his desires and accepts what the desire says, then whole life we cannot succeed. Remember this, we cannot succeed our whole lives. That our nafs will make us do such things, it will trick us and deceive us, that we will think, oh, this is ibadah, and he'll waste our time. So alongside this, the person who follows his nafs and follows the orders and commands of the nafs will go towards failure. So we have to go to the opposite side and make our nafs, our desires, our enemy. We should never be friends with our desires. Never. So our pious predecessors, this was their, you can say, the pivot of their deen, the foundation, the base of their deen. All their lives they controlled their nafs. And when they control, and when a man controls his nafs and fights against his desires, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, what is the result that comes out? Is that the whole conclusion, the result is that that person then starts to implement the orders of Allah totally, totally. And what we realize is that what is it that stops us? What is it that prevents us from implementing Allah's hukam is the nafs, desires. And what is that takes us towards bad or sin is the nafs, the desires. Let's take an example that we're doing a worship action. And when we think about ibadah, worship, at this moment, ibadah, what ibadah am I doing, for example? I'm going to do dhikr, I'm going to recite Quran, I'm going to pray salah. So this is the ibadah, the worship of Allah. But my niyyah, my intention is that my enemy, which is my desires, which are madaza, I want to make them weak. I want to suppress them and I want to fight with my desires, my nafs, and want to oppose my desires. When we bring this niyyah in front of us, then that ibadah that we've done, that worship action, then none of our deeds will be going to waste. Because when you make your prime objective that I want to suppress my desires, when it tries to trick us, I'll say, nah, Allah, I made the niyyah. When I was about to do this deed, this ibadah, that I'm going to do this deed to fight my nafs. And I'm going to do this deed to suppress my nafs and make it weak. I don't want to lie or consume haram or become angry or speak, waste of time, talk futile talk. I don't want to have pride. I don't want to waste my life or time. These are all intentions against the nafs. Remember this. What are these? These are intentions against the nafs. If we are getting these things, then totally we are praying our salah according to nafs. We are doing ibadah according to nafs. We are reciting Quran according to nafs. Totally our nafs is included in our deeds. And the nafs is not going to be included in our deeds. If we detach our deeds from us, and then when we say Allah, our niyyah is to suppress my desires and to kill my desires, then you will get the reward for all of the ibadah. So our pious predecessors, the walis of Allah, who did dhikr of Allah, they did ibadah, they had did worship to the amount that they could do. They used to run their house, they used to look after their wives and their children, and they used to run their businesses. And this is sunnah. So, but they had one prime mission, and their mission supreme was that we want to depart, we want to become successful in this world. And success isn't just praying salah physically or doing all of the ibadat, worship actions. Success, the basis of success is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, explained that in your ibadat, there should be no contamination of nafs. Nafs should not be mixed in your ibadat. Understand that what is it that's stopping you from the orders of Allah, implementing the orders of Allah? What is it that's taking you towards bad deeds, actions, evil? Is the nafs. Now, shaitan is nothing as an enemy. Nafs is many times stronger than the shaitan. Guru Gantal, if I speak in this dialect, that is very cunning, the nafs. And it will become like a friend to you, so meekly and gently, with the love and gentleness. It will say, do this, do this. And we'll think, oh, what a good friend is the nafs. That can there be anything more beloved than the nafs? Wahid, one thing to identify, that where is this thought taking me? That the nafs, where is it taking me with this friendship and its invitation? What path is he advising me to go on? This is what those pious predecessors grabbed hold of and understood. And today, if an insan, you mashallah following this path of tazkiyah, the salikeen, and I'm trying to follow this path. So if we are doing everything in accordance with the nafs order, then we are living the life of deception. Don't think about amal, physical thing, oh, I didn't get anything. Success, there's one criteria. Well, your prayer, all the ibadat, one side, tie them up in a knot and put them to the side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that, just like I said yesterday night, that the pure thing I want from you, your pure deeds in which there is no mixture of the nafs. This is the ibadat Allah ta'ala wants. And this is also the deception of the nafs. The basis is, oh, I'm praying salah. What difference does it make? Oh, these people are saying to us extra things. This is extra and additional. I'm praying salah, that's enough. What else do I need? Yes, and you will see hundreds of thousands, millions of people that the nafs has destroyed them. Nafs has destroyed them, that they don't even come towards tazkiyah, to this subject and this path that we need to control nafs. 1, 2, 3, 4. We can just count the people who are into it. This is what you've come for, isn't it? Or have you not come for this? That those people who are listening, mashallah, that morning and evening, mashallah, there are speeches, ulama kiram, shaykh ul hadees come. There's nothing lacking in terms of knowledge. And why is it necessary for you to listen to a person like me? What's it? There's a man here, a fakir. What's the necessity for you to listen to this fakir? Listen to the others, the scholar, the ulama, and they have Quran, hadith, and mashallah, extreme knowledge. But maybe you will have heard this before you came here, that from here we will attain one thing, and what is that great treasure and that pearl? That is tazkiyah. Tazkiyah. Alhamdulillah. And this is what we are here for. So, for example, this is the great fadl of Allah. The great fadl of Allah in this darkness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instilled a light into our hearts, that we at least have got fikr for our purification. That at least we're worried about purifying ourselves. And the person who doesn't worry about purification, he will be a very dirty, impure person. Let's take a person who, for example, he doesn't even have a bath on Jummah, on Friday. He doesn't even have a bath on Eid. And he says that I don't smell. Yeah, and he'll make an excuse. I don't smell. I'm fresh and fragrant. That the whole year, if he doesn't have a bath, will you stand next to him and pray? Will you sit next to him? You'll step back. You'll say, why are you stepping back? Why are you not standing next to me? I just put a scent on. What is the fragrance going to be of benefit to him? How can the perfume help him? You can put Sultan on, Jannatul Firdaus, whatever fragrance you call misk or amber. Whatever you want to, it won't help you if you're dirty and you don't have the bath. In the same way, when you're bathing, my bathing, our bathing is dirty, and we don't give it ghusl, we don't bathe it, clean it, purify it, then how can the nafs say, I am, the bathing say, I am pure? We've got to think about this. If we don't have fikr, that we should go to the bathroom, to the shower, to the bath, and have a bath or a shower and clean ourselves. If we don't feel that, we don't think it's necessary, oh, let the dirt come on my body and let it carry on and carry on, carry on. And the person becomes so dirty internally, so dirty his batin, that after dying, that the dirt and the stench, the smell that emanates from that person, we cannot imagine in the grave the smell that will come out. That the whole of the impurities the person gathers on his heart, on his batin, and he leaves this world and goes into the grave with the dirt. He never sat in dhikr, never sat and followed that path for cleaning internally. So for example, if you need to have a bath, where will you go to have a bath? Where will you go? If I say that, look, you're dirty, you smell, or this child needs a bath, bathe the child. What will you do first and foremost? Let's ask ourselves, that where's the bathroom, sir? I need to go to the bathroom. Or will you say to me, I need to go to the bedroom? You know the bedroom is to sleep or to sit down. You can't have a bath in the bedroom. So for example, you go to somebody's house as a guest. You say, you want to have a bath. You say, where's the washroom, please? Where's the bathroom, please? And he'll realize that you want to have a bath. Or if you say, where's your bedroom? You say, oh, maybe he wants to sleep. He wants to sleep again. He wants to rest. So for us, our lives are in this same mold. The same mold that we, physically, when we need to clean ourselves, we need to go to a bath. So to clean the bath in the soul, the inner state, what do? Go to the bedroom? Have you ever asked for the bedroom when you need to go to the washroom? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the method to wash our bath in our soul. What is that? Sohbat, connection with the sheikh, company of the sheikh, dhikr Allah, remembrance of Allah, and to go to the spiritual hospital, the khanqah, the place where the dhikr and the purification of the soul is done. And these three things have come from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did tazkiyah to the sahaba. You are malana, mashallah, scholars. How many places Allah ta'ala said, my nabi is wa yu'allimuhumul kitaba wal hikmata wa yuzakkihim. He will teach you the Quran wal hikmah, and he will purify you. Did Allah ta'ala not say this? So how do we purify ourselves? The way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, and he taught to the sahaba. And then we keep on getting dirty and dirty and dirty. We don't care about getting clean. How much dirt and smell must be within us? And when there's a smell within us, then not one angel of mercy will come to our homes. When we smell and there's a stench within us, in our batin, in our nafs, then they will run from us. They'll say that this Muslim, he doesn't even know how to clean himself. He doesn't even know what the washroom is or the spiritual bathroom is. So this is essential for us to understand. Have we realized now that we need to clean ourselves? Do you understand what is tazkiyah? What is the reason for coming here? That we need to clean ourselves within. Then let's at least take the stench out from within us and make ourselves clean. Now when the stench comes out from within and we get clean, then obviously, look at the people. There are examples. For example, let's say someone who works, somebody's a plumber, somebody works in a factory, you smell sweat, dirt, you come home after work, that time you're different, aren't you? And your wife, they will step back, and your children will step back, then you go straight up to the bathroom, you throw the dirty clothes to the side, you have a shower, you have a nice soap and shampoo, and you put the new clothes on that are hanging up on the hanger, and you come out like a gentleman, looking nice and fresh. You'll become different, and you'll be light, and you'll feel a little bit sleepy and dozy. You'll be sitting on the sofa, you'll start to feel sleepy. Don't sleep now, listen to what I'm saying.
This is what I'm saying. SubhanAllah.
And you feel nice doziness and slumber. Isn't it? What has he done, that person? All he did was that he went and cleaned the dirt on his body. He went and cleaned the dirt. In the same way, when a person goes into maraqba and snores when he's doing zikr of the heart, then mashallah, he's in that dozy state and the dirt is coming out. You feel like then a nice slumber and the dirt is coming out of the batin. So just like physically you have a shower or a bath and you feel enjoyment, then you feel like you want to drink something and your eyes start to go to sleep, and they're still there, you're still awake, but it's an artificial sleep, isn't it? In the same way, when we clean our soul, our batin, purify our hearts, and we clean the batin, then a nice slumber and ease comes into a person called hal, and the person feels good and he becomes badhal, and then alhamdulillah, he's opposing his desires, and as more, the more he cleans his inner state and heart, then he feels that nice peace and that slumber and contentment and satisfaction, so much sakina and sukoon, enjoyment the person's feeling, and he doesn't know what's happening. His eyes are there and a little bit sleepy, but he's feeling peace in the heart because he has cleaned his heart and purified his batin. Such a great method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these qualities. So when we clean our hearts and our batin and our nafs, then the qualities they have within us, then we become very good human beings, and we then physically in the world, we will start to demonstrate our good qualities and characteristics. That person is called a wali of Allah. To speak about them, to remember them, to listen about their lives is ibadah and worship. And the person who's doing these things, who's listening to, reading to, hearing about the walis of Allah, it becomes ibadah and improves the lives of the listeners. Shall I tell you an event about one of our pious predecessors? And he's not very old in time. I'll tell you about our recent history. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayh, one of his Ajal Khulafa, one of his great Khalifa's deputies, Hazrat Abdul Ghani Pulpari rahmatullah alayh. And he was a great man, a great man, normal human being to everybody else. And where did he go? Who did he go to? He went to Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat. He realized that this is a sheikh, he's a great wali of Allah, and he purifies the hearts of the people. He's the one who cleans the heart, the batin, the nafs, so I need to clean myself. And he himself was an alim. He himself was a scholar. He had all the ilm. But ilm will not clean our hearts. Ilm, knowledge, will not purify our batin and our nafs. Does it take out the dirt? If it takes it out, then why is it being told to the wali of Allah? The alim is that person who is khashiyat, who will be clean inside. He won't be the alim of the books. He will be the alim khashiyat. He will have khashiyat within him. Subhanallah. That Allah Ta'ala says that those people who clean themselves, that within the men, the person, the alim, the scholar, who is the person of knowledge? The person who is khashiyat, that those who will be clean, that is the person who is the alim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So he reached to Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullah alayh, and he went and said that Hazrat, and as I said, that Hazrat Abdul Ghani, rahmatullah, there was a difference of 13 years between him and his sheikh to be, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat. So the physical difference of age was 13 years, but the batini age difference, the spiritual age difference was, you could say, thousands of years. So remember, that even if today the man with the white hairs has to go to the teacher with the black hairs, then don't fear. Don't look at his dahir, his physical, but look at his batin, that it is high level. And this time will come, or it is here already, or it has gone already. So Hazrat Abdul Ghani, rahmatullah, went and presented himself to Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat and said, please, I need to purify myself. And Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat saw him, analyzed him, scanned him, said, ah, this is a man with capacity. Because the sheikh can recognize that this man, he's not going to do anything, he's wasting more time. Just like that cow that goes round and round, plowing and plowing within the farm. And some murids are like this, they're just going round and round in a circle, they're not going beyond that. And the teacher tries as much as he wants, the student is static, he's not progressing. But many students, some of them, they listen and they go beyond the levels and increase. And what's the difference here is that the second is the one who listens to the sheikh. Whatever the sheikh demands, prescribes, or gives advice, nasiha, gives a prescription, that student totally implements that. Not just listens, totally implements the advices of the sheikh. Every single word and advice. They don't look at the loss in the world or other things, because that's the reason why they come to the sheikh. When a student goes to the sheikh, he's like a person who has sold himself. In the marketplace, he sold himself that, Shaykh, I've come to you, in your hands I sell myself, I am your ghulam, I'm your slave, I'm your servant, and you are my malik, and whatever you say, I will listen to you. And I will not listen to or look at anything, as I'm not going to look at loss or benefit, because all of the benefit will come from here that will deliver me to extreme success. Remember this, all of the success will come from here. That I'm talking about the true murids, who definitely want that they clean their hearts, their batin, they change their lives, improve their lives, and reach close to Allah. And in the world you'll see that those people are improved. So he saw, and Hazrat Thanvi saw that he's come here, And he's not a small time student. He's come with a big niya. He's come with his heart. He wants to listen to what I'm saying. Okay, that's fine. So then Hazrat Abdul Ghani did amal on what Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi prescribed. And it didn't take long for the results to come. It didn't take a long time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a very high status. And because he started to purify his nafs and his desires due to listening to his sheikh, he left the commands of his nafs. And his sheikh said, do this, suppress the desires, do this job physically. You have to live your life like this. He lived his life like this. He heard and he implemented. He heard and he practiced. And Hazrat said, go from here, follow my advice, don't make excuses. And wherever you are, do this. And not this, for example, look, you are taking something. What is it that you're taking? That path of tazkiyah, purification, which is a great path, alhamdulillah, great path. And here the nafs will not be followed. That your sheikh, whatever he tells you, what will he tell you to do? To oppose the nafs, the nafs. He will tell you to oppose the nafs. But we don't recognize the nafs. That if somebody else doesn't tell us something, then we don't listen. We should happily accept when the teacher explains to us, and we should oppose our desires and suppress the desires, because there are sins that are attached to our hearts from decades and years. We're used to that. But as soon as we go to the sheikh with a true intention, then we start to clean ourselves, because the human being has power, strength. Allah has given us this, and we can fight our desires. We can oppose our desires. So Hazrat Abdul Ghani, rahmatullah, look at his condition, what he became, alhamdulillah. And mashallah, he left this world as a great wali of Allah, great friend of Allah. And then he did tarbiyah after that himself. And many other great walis learned from him. He is maruf, great sheikh from Hindustan, from India. Rather, from him, there's also the example that Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib also learned from him. So much faiz was sent to the dunya from the sheikh, from the teacher. This was said that when a person decides that I'm going to follow the prescription of my sheikh and I'm not going to listen to my nafs, because it's my sheikh who will kill my nafs, I will follow the advice of my sheikh, my teacher, who will allow me to control my desires. If I listen to my sheikh, I can control my desires. If I don't, the nafs will overpower me. That's why Allah Ta'ala said, has given the hukam to us, order, that this is the tariqah for you to suppress your desires and reach to me. That not, no. Don't become like a bumblebee flying around and complaining. No, we have to have the determination. And if we follow that determination, then we can have great results as human beings. So Allah Ta'ala gave him a great maqam. 12 times that he did the ziyarah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this dunya. Look at the maqam that he earned. 12 times he saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in ziyarah. 12 times. And one waqi, I will tell you, you'll feel enjoyment. He said that once, in the same way, I was like in a position and I saw that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to me, and I felt very good at that time. I was happy. And he said, I was on my own and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he was on his own. And then I started to see, I was looking at the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imagine the power that Allah gave to him. And what was behind all of this? Cleaning himself, purifying himself. He was the same man, but he changed and improved to what? Spiritually great. We today are this. And if we understand our nafs, that we need to fight our nafs, alhamdulillah, then you will achieve heights. You will become elevated, lofty status. That we, the people who walk around on the streets like dogs and just counting the notes and greedy, and we swear people and we have dirt inside us, impurities inside us. And suddenly, what does that person become? He gets spiritual strength, becomes a great human being, improved human being. So he saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept, and then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and said, Abdul Ghani, today you have filled your heart with happiness and looked at me. And what did he say? He said, oh Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I've seen that thing that I used to read in the hadith, that today I've seen that in your blessed eyes I can even see those red, faint red lines that are mentioned in the hadith. Oh, because this was the husn of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's eyes. We hear this from the hadith, that the beauty of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, hada basar, that they never lowered, and how Allah Ta'ala put those red streaks, the light red streaks in his blessed eyes, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So this is the husn, the beauty in his blessed eyes, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this Ajiz has written some ishar and verses on this, beautiful verses that Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to write, that the blessed eyes of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his vision, they were so beautiful that we cannot get no example compared to this. So beautiful. And they were eyes, mashallah, that you could see, if you saw them, you'd go into a trance. That sometimes, you know, when you're getting up in the morning, they're a little bit reddish, but naturally Rasulullah's eyes were like this, light red complexion, light red streaks, and beauty, and beautiful eyes, and beautiful vision. And imagine the condition that would overwhelm the Sahaba when they would look at the eyes of Rasulullah. They would not even lift their eyes or their heads to look at Rasulullah. It was too hard. This is that we used to lower our eyes and our gaze, and then sometimes we'd quickly look up, and then we'd look down and quench the thirst. Then we'd look up quickly and quench our thirst and look down again. So here, imagine that individual, the person from this day and age, who saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in ziyarah, and he's telling us himself that Rasulullah said, "Oh Abdul Ghani, you've looked at me so much today and have been satisfied." You said, he said, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I looked at you so much today, and I saw what I read in the hadith, that your blessed eyes, the lal, the red dori, the red light red streaks." Once I tell you that in the masjid I was, and he said that I was in the masjid, and the companions, they all came, the Sahaba Kram Jamaat, they came in the way of the Sunnah. He said, "I was in the masjid, and the Sahaba Kram, I saw them, and it was a big masjid full of the Sahaba Kram." He said, "I understood that this is the group of the companions, and here, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will definitely come in." And he said, "It's difficult to look." And then he took out the targhib in a loud voice, said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And Zahir, what the salam is said, and the answer was to come. When he read the salam, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the answer. He said, where the answer came from, straight away went to that direction. And when I went towards that direction of the answer, I saw that there were rays of nur being distributed, and then Rasulullah disappeared. These are his words. He said, the pieces of nur started to spread around me in the air surroundings. He said, I just saw this was his ziyarah, that he saw that time, a beautiful ilm of ziyarah he gave this fakir, Abdul Ghani Ramthari. So how do you achieve these things? How do we achieve these things? Why did he get this maqam? Why did Allah give this rank and status? For taqwiyat, that within us there should be shock and desire that this is the wali of Allah. That how the person becomes the wali of Allah. What did he do? That he suppressed his desires. He went against his nafs, his base desires. He lived his life. Not just this dhikr, adhkar, I've done 12 tasbih, 13 tasbih. This is ibadah, worship. But beyond this dhikr and adhkar, the asal, what is the effect on our nafs? That are we doing the right things? Is our life the same? Is our lifestyle the same? Our thinking and our process the same in life? Are we wasting our time? We shouldn't be. We should make a difference. If dhikr is not making a difference, if we're not improving our lives, our characters are not improving, there's no difference within us, then we have not achieved something. Then the medicine is not working. The medicine is not working. Then let me tell you an example of this. What's the reason here? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the tajalliyat, that he had the sohbat of the sheikh. Remember, this was one point. Once he said that... he's a man. A man can have anger. And he said that there was a person in the village, Hazrat, became angry with him. And he told him off, ticked him off, gave him a scolding. The sheikh gave him a scolding. And when he told him off, and he had come from another village, and he took the scolding, or the telling off, you could say, and he left. And when he went in the night, then he felt bad. And this example, I'm telling you, the effects of dhikr, I'm telling you, the effects of dhikr. And even if you tell off somebody, it's permissible, even if it's jais, because there can be something permissive due to which he told him. Maybe if you tell off your shagird, if the sheikh tells off his murid and his student, then yakina definitely happens that the true sheikh, that in their heart, who are clean and pure and gentle, that they don't like it, they don't feel good when they've told off their student or somebody else. He doesn't get sukoon and sakina and peace. They told off his student. And then he said, how did I make this mistake? I told that person off, that nafs has made me tell off the student. And there's only one cure for this, he said. That the person I was angry with, the best way for me, and this is a big lesson, this hadith, he said, the best person that in the world, plead, put your hands together and plead and beg that he forgives me rather than I have to plead in the hereafter. So I have to put my hands together. If I don't ask for forgiveness now, where will I have to ask forgiveness? In the hereafter, on the day of Hashr. Because this silsila, where maybe you said something to somebody, maybe he will ask for the repayment in the hereafter. When a person leaves this world, then the life doesn't end. The direction of life changes, the phase changes, the journey changes. There's a shair, a poem of Hazrat Iqbal that I can't remember. There's a distance in it. When a person passes from this world, then he just changes direction and goes to a different place. The hayat, the same person, is just continuing in the hereafter. So we give it the name death. The person's died, but nothing's really changed. Just the place where he is living has changed. In his, the person's the same. The sins we've done here, after death, will they end? The good deeds we've done here, will they end after death? No, they will continue with us as luggage to thereafter. The physical things of the world will end. For example, when we die, leave this world, we have currency, money. I'll give you an example. You have pounds, and you're going to Belgium, and there's a different currency in Belgium, isn't it? Maybe. So, you will have pounds, but in Belgium, what do you need? You need the currency of Belgium, Belgian francs. You go to Pakistan, you need rupees. India, you need the rupees. You have to change the currency. So you are physically there, you're living there doing the same things. You need to do. So the same way for the life of the hereafter, you cannot use the notes and the pounds and the currency of the world. There we will need the currency of amal, of deeds in the hereafter. So the life is there, but the condition physically has changed, the station has changed, the physical environment has changed. So if we don't ask for forgiveness from those who maybe we were oppressed, do we think after death we're free? After death, then that oppression will come with a new, you can say, physical form. Then here in the world, if we see forgiveness and atone for our sins, that's fine. If we've backbited, swore somebody, lied, hit somebody, oppressed someone, that sin will not cease after death. So he, the Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh, rahmatullah, he thought, look, I've done something, I've excessed against this person. So he understood the oppression of his nafs. So he thought, he had done his tazkiyah, he had purified his heart. And this is the enjoyment, isn't it? How did I become angry? Why did I tell off that person? Why did I scold him? Why did I tick him off lightly? Doesn't matter, it could be your wife. Why are you telling off your wife? Why are you scolding her? You have a level. Why are you telling her you're this and that, you're rude? You're going beyond your level. There's a child, your son, your daughter. Yes, everyone has a right and a level. Remember this. Everyone is a level. And this maqam comes sometimes, the father has to ask the forgiveness from the child, from the son or the daughter. Ask for the forgiveness from the children. You have to do this. The children, they will understand. When there's understanding in the father, then if the father, for example, he will slap after, first the child will slap. Oh, let me slap you first, then you can tell me afterwards. Now he's getting ready, and the son, he punches first. Ah, end of story. Because this is the tarbiyah he gave to the child. Because there's no tazkiyah. That they have the life of the animals, were full of dirt and impurities. What does he know, the son? Who's my father? Who's my son? And she's my wife. Who has tamiz and manners in their society? Son, daughter? No, tamiz. No, sure, because inside we're dirty. Little bit, there's a gap of age that we think there's a bit of shame. There was there before, but they don't have that recognition nowadays. There's no haya and the shame that this is my father, or this is my wife, and this is my child. And the father today, sometimes he's telling off the son, and suddenly the child will bang, smack in the face. That's it, end of story. Don't tell me what to do. And he's speaking half the dialogue, and the child will swear totally after that, which are famous swear words today in this day and age, in this generation. He will swear those words. He will utter those swear words. The child, the son, the daughter, they'll do this. Is this not happening? And this, I'm telling you, this is our society. This is the reflection of our lives, because we don't clean ourselves spiritually. Never has the father cleaned himself, purified himself, his nafs, and nor has the son, nor has the children. And what has happened? Nothing. And this is common in society today. Common. We see this in society. Whatever, whoever we want to, we grab hold of the neck. He doesn't know this is the father, the wife, or the husband, or the son, or the daughter. What are the rights of the wife, or the husband, or the children? We don't know. We don't exercise those rights. What? Whoever the person who has power and strength, he jumps on top of the other person. And he overcomes the person. And he gives the I am right. And then the people, they give the phone call. Oh, the children, they're saying on the phone, oh, I've hit my father today. Takes a minute. There, and then he has to go to court. Yes, this is our situation today in society. We are mu'mins, believers. And what's the reason? That we haven't cleaned our hearts. That we have kept the ibadah on top. We've made the appearance and the form. And we put the, mashallah, the cream on the beard. And the cream you get as well. A friend has given me a nice cream for the beard. And we have the appearance of the sunnah. That's it. We'll have fragrance and atur and smells. But inside the dirt, anger. Anger. One person, he told off a person from the village. He didn't sleep all night long. He tossed and turned. His eyes were red. He didn't do any ibadah that night. He didn't worship. He couldn't do his ibadah. He said, let the morning come. I need to go seek and find that man. I need to plead to him to forgive me. I need to get the forgiveness. So nobody is a hakim, or nobody can overpower anybody else. Remember, as Umar radiallahu anhu was Amirul Mu'mineen, commander of the faithful. But could he dare that he could overwhelm somebody, overpower somebody? And if he did, the other person would tell him, and would say in the gathering, a woman said to him, oh, you are Amirul Mu'mineen, you are Umar, you are the leader of the faithful. The old woman was saying to him, and he said, yes, please lady, you have taught me something good today. You've controlled me today. Islah you've done of me today. Subhanallah. Do we get this example in our generation today? Because the nafs were detached from what? He didn't have anger. What is anger? Say it loudly. What is anger? Say it loudly. Nafs, desires. And what is lying? Nafs. I couldn't hear what you're saying. Nafs. Say it louder. Why are you scared? What is anger? Nafs. Yes, what is lying? Nafs. What is backbiting? Nafs. What is eating haram? Consuming haram? Nafs. That's it. That's it. And all of this, if we have these, then there's nafs in our lives, then we haven't cleaned ourselves. So if the nafs goes, then we will clean ourselves. Because nafs is dirt. Yes, the base desires is impurity. So the morning came, he ran, he went, and he looked that for that man, and he was plowing his fields. He was planning his field. He said, Mulana Sahib's come. He became happy. Oh, bring the lassi and bring the yogurt drink. Give to Mulana Sahib. He said, forget the lassi. Oh, I've wasted my time. I've spoiled myself. And he stood in front of him and he pleaded forgiveness. He said, please forgive me. He said, Hazrat, what are you doing? Why are you asking forgiveness? He became scared. He said, what's this you're asking forgiveness? He said, I just met you yesterday. He said, no, please, for the sake of Allah, forgive me. He said, what did I do? You didn't do anything wrong to me. Because that person's used to it, isn't it? The person, the people who are lower spiritually, or for example, I am the slave or the worker, I'm going to get slapped by the master. Yeah? When you have the little children, the slaves or the workers, they get used to getting the slap. They get used to taking the beats. We see them, you know, the slaves and the workers in our countries. She's a human being. She's in the worker. She's working for you and you're paying her. That's it, end of story. That's it. How can you become the hakim, an overpowerer, an abuser? They get used to it, innit? The masters and the house owners, and they, even if they question them a little bit, bang, they slap. Astaghfirullah. We treat them like animals. How we become like animals, totally, totally, tell me. We don't have a soul and principles. And then we don't even have the desire to clean ourselves. And then we start to clean ourselves. Oh, he's going to become a wali of Allah. Oh, he thinks he's a wali, a sheikh. He wants to become a wali. Isn't this? This is what happens. And they will come, we say, oh, where are you? Why are you going to this person? You are praying Salah in Masjid al-Rahman and you are losing out business-wise. Your shop is suffering. Why are you going to this gathering? What are you going to learn for? And the other person says, where are you going? I used to go a few moments, I used to sit in the majlis next to Hazrat. And that person says, I told you don't sit there, isn't it? And then he stopped, he started coming, then he left. But the other people, they start coming, they come. And the other person says, I told you to go there, isn't it? Other people don't know what's happening to him, but he's cleaning his desires. He comes to the majlis. And then Hazrat, going back to the example, he said, Hazrat, to the villager, that please forgive me. And the villager said, Hazrat, why are you asking for forgiveness? He said, why? I didn't do anything bad to you. You didn't do anything bad to me. Why are you asking forgiveness? He started to cry and say that I told you off. I scolded you. He said, Hazrat, I'm like your son. I'm a child. Here, take my slipper and bang it to my head. I don't deserve that you seek forgiveness from me. And Hazrat said, no. He said, please, Hazrat, take my shoe. Hit me more. That you gave me the siha. You told me off. You corrected me. That I'm not going to take it bad. I was saying something wrong, or I said something wrong. Maybe my mouth felt bad when you told me off and I felt upset. And Hazrat said, no, this is not enough. That I need you to say to me that you forgive me. And he said, no, Hazrat, I can't say that I've forgiven you. I can't say this. Because they had haya and shame. They had shame. They used to eat halal. This was one point about our generations before us. They used to plow the fields and eat halal. So they had haya. They had shame. There was one reason. They didn't have enough animals. They didn't have richness and wealth and assets, but they had halal, they had lawful. And that's the first thing that we have eliminated here. We can't even stop earning the haram and the unlawful. We just sign our names on the dotted line, social security, I think we call it, don't we? We take from here, claim from here, claim from there. Sitting at home, we're happy. Oh, the money's coming in automatically. Backs and lying. And somebody says, I've got a pain in my leg, I can't work, takes the claim. Or someone says, oh, I'm looking after this person, my relative, I need social security. Or I'm looking after my child, please give me a payment. Can this be? Or someone saying, oh, I'm looking after my mother, please pay me. And I've heard that this happens as well. What is he claiming? What's the benefit that's being claimed? Beneath her footstep is Jannah, Paradise. Hazrat Bayezid Bustami Ramdhani became a wali of Allah, that he served his mother all night long. He became Bayezid Bustami. And what is he? What are we doing today? Taking money from my father, my mother, my father. He lives in my house. I need this much money from you, please. Social security benefit. And the father says, I'm taking as well, and you take as well. So both of us will take and make profit. Because he's taking money as well. So he says to his son, you take as well. And see what they do. So they have money. We're claiming benefit. And we can't buy the ticket. We see them doing tawaf. And the people of Bolton, mashallah, they buy the dates and come back from Medina Munawwara with the dates. And they've left nothing. We're taking the dates to Bolton. There are boxes full of boxes. Ajwa, ajwa, ajwa. Ramadan has not even arrived yet. We have mounds of dates. And we've seen people, they've got cold stores. They've got storage centers. They're so happy. They've come with the dates. Subhanallah, all of the dates of Medina here, and they're selling and they're being eaten. And mashallah, he's a pious person. He's eating just dates. He's a good Muslim. And this is our deen today. In other words, let's do justice here. And look at our character. Is our character good? That we take money, we claim on behalf of our mother, the father, the children. And the father, he's saying, eat my son. I'm taking the claims, benefits. You also benefit. And the wife is saying to the husband, let's go through a fake divorce. Let's do a fake divorce and you live separate. I'll live separate. We'll live together. But I'll claim from this side and you claim from that side. And we'll get double the money. We'll keep telling them, this is not a story, this is the reality of our society that we're living in. Is this not the case? Is this not the case? Are we Muslim? Are we on the deen? And this is an example that we have are living the life of the animals. We think we are the good qawm, we have the Quran in one hand, we have the tasbih, we do dhikr, and we lengthen our beards. We're doing this work in this country, in this society, and they ask us, that your deen Islam, does this allow this? And I've heard various people say these things. By Allah, that if you are doing this sin, they say, look, we sin, we drink, for example, with whiskey, but you're sitting with me, and you're also drinking, you're gulping down more than me, more glasses that you're shunning down your throat. You don't even have the permission to do this. You're not even allowed to do this. They say this. They explain to us our deen. They remind us of our deen. That look, we have dunya, and we don't even have dunya, no akhirah, because we've lost it through our actions. So my brothers, where is the piety? Where's the line of the deen? Tell me one person. Show me one person in this day and age who says that I earn 100% halal. Only halal if we earn. I swear by Allah, halal gives so much barakah, so much blessings, so much blessings that your generation will not be spoilt. Will not be spoiled. The person who's earning halal and eating halal ufal, the question doesn't arise that your child will stand in front of you and talk back to you or challenge you or say you are this or you are that. No. Am I sitting free? And if the father tells me, take me, oh, am I free? I can't give you a lift. And you know I'm busy and you want a lift. Oh, take that taxi and go where you're going to go. Don't tell me I have to give you a lift. I ain't got time for you. Huh? Are you talking to your dad? What does the Quran say? Don't even say uff in front of the father. Don't even say, oof, the amount of times you see your father, you will get the reward of one hajj accepted. And he says, if I say 10 times, then 10 hajj accepted. Ooh, then if I see my father 50 times separately, then 50 accepted hajj you will get. Oh, the sahaba, they used to go and see their parents and get the hajj rewards. But today we have no pride and no status with us. And totally we are lost inside. We've lost our status that the son swears to the father. The father tells off the son. The son swears first back to the father. And the father smiles. Oh, it's okay, he's my son. I can't do nothing. Astaghfirullah, we have no pride. We have no shame. If we eat halal and earn lawful, look at the rights. There's a right for the husband. There's a right for the wife, for the children. There's a right for the mother, there's a right for the father, there's a law for the son, there's a law for the society, a law for the neighborhood. All of these laws and rights, we have to fulfill them. And for example, we are restricted and we need to implement these rules. But what have we done? We've taken all of the rights and the rules due to society, we've hidden them in the drawer, and we say, nah, we're just going to do what we want. Just go on Hajj and Umrah and buy the dates and drink the water and do what you want. And Jannah is mine, we say. Jannah is mine. And then listen to the people and listen to what those people do in their lives. So why is this? Because this is a gathering of tazkiyah. Me and you have come for purification, rectification. I'm speaking from within our lifestyles. Will we get Jannah? Will we get paradise? Why are we following this journey of tazkiyah? What is the meaning of tazkiyah? To suppress the desires, to kill off the desires. And what is nafs? What is lying? Nafs. What is backbiting? Nafs. What is consuming haram? Nafs. What is earning haram? Nafs. So let's look ourselves in the mirror. Then what am I? My nafs is here. And I will go into the ditch, into the grave as a loser. As a loser. So Hazrat Abdul Ghani Rahmatullah, back to the example, he suppressed his desires. So do you know how to kill the desires? So he was angry a little bit with a man, the villager, and he felt bad all night long that I told him off. He went back to him the next day, he pleaded his hands and he stood there, such a big alim, the wali of Allah, tell me. He stood there with his hands pressed and he said to the villager, please forgive me. And he said, no, I will not forgive you. He said, I will not leave here. He said he didn't know, the other man didn't know this. He said, here, like I'm pleading and putting my hands together asking you for forgiveness, isn't it? He said, yes, you are. He said, like this, totally, I will have to put my hands together on the day of judgment and beg to you, and all of the dunya will be stood there, and I'll be dishonored and disrespected. Do you want me to be dishonored? He said, no, then why don't you forgive me now, today on the earth, so I don't have to go through the hardship in the hereafter? Then the man, he said, will this happen? All these people will be there, and they will be looking, and yeah, and they will ask. And he said, yes, they will look at this on the day of judgment when you, well, I will ask you, and you'll be stood there, I will be stood there, and the whole world will be standing there watching that I'm asking you forgiveness. Will they be good? He said, no, I don't accept this is good on the day of judgment. He said, will you forgive me then? He said, yes, I forgive you. I forgive you. He said, if you didn't forgive me, then I would have grabbed your feet to beg forgiveness. I would have dropped to your feet and I would have begged for forgiveness. I would not have left without this. So this may sound small to us because within us we don't have this capacity, but this is such a great point that we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine. And we should practically try this with somebody once. We should try this ourselves and implement this. So this is that changes and improves a person. And this is, so when he came back, he was tired and he fulfilled his wazaif, his dhikr, his mu'amulat, and then when a person, he atones for his sins and he comes back to his wazaif. The Quran tells us this. So he did his dhikr, his ibadat. After that, he was tired. When he closed his eyes, then what happened? Subhanallah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him and then say Subhanallah again. Subhanallah again. And did he pray tahajjud? Did he do ibadah, worship? Did he do dhikr? No. One action, he suppressed his desires. He crushed his desires. He said, I have to fulfill one sunnah of Rasulullah. And he wanted to control his desires. He went to that man to ask for forgiveness. And this is through which he got the buzurgi, the piety. He said, from this it started the piety. He said that I saw that the boat is sailing. And now the scene changes. I told you, didn't I, that this dunya is just a framework. It is a skeleton. And we cannot realize the reality of life. When the eye is closed, then we get to the other world. And the walis of Allah are like this. The hair, when you sleep, you go into a maraqabah, you doze off, blit of sleep in a slumber, then you go into the other world. And you start to see the events. If you purify your hearts a lot, if you purify, say inshallah. Say inshallah. This is what you've come to do? Aha. This is our destination. This idea, and it's not far. That's it. We have to fight the nafs. We have to control the nafs. And our darajat will continue to increase. Continue to increase. That's it. So it's a test for us. A challenge for the nafs. For our desires. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. He said, I saw there was a boat. And there was the head of the walis, Hazrat Ali Karam Allah Waj, because walaya comes from Babul Ilm, the door of knowledge. So Hazrat Ali Karam Allah Waj and Hazrat Rasulullah sallam were in the boat. And this is where walaya is. Hazrat Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullahi came to become a wali from here. Imagine the tazkirah, what he learned from his sheikh. So he said that there was a boat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the boat, and Hazrat Ali Karam Allah Waj was there, and he saw my boat was also sailing, and Rasul, there was another boat, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hazrat Ali in the boat, and my boat was a bit far away, and I was sitting in my boat alone. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Ali, and Hazrat Ali said, yes, O Prophet of Allah, he said that, you know, this Ghani, Abdul Ghani, he's going on his own in the boat. So my boat, allow my boat to join with his boat. So Hazrat Rasulullah said to Ali radiallahu anhu, do this. So he thought, I'm in the boat. What did Rasulullah say? So Hazrat Ali responded, okay, no problem. So Hazrat Ali, he pulled Hazrat Abdul Ghani's boat and pulled it towards the boat of Rasulullah, and they clanged together and they knocked together, and there was a noise, tuk, 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 like a knocking noise. And Hazrat Abdul Ghani said, until today that noise is there in my ears, in my mind. I cannot write about that noise or explain about it, because that was the seal of wilayah that he received. It wasn't the knocking together of the boats. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting the grade of wilayah for Hazrat Abdul Ghani rahmatullahi. And have you heard these events now about the wali of Allah? When we listen to and read about them, hear about them, then taqwa comes to us. So why should we waste our time? Why are we listening to this? On every second and footstep there's a test for us. On every step there's a challenge for us. Read the Quran, practice on it. Read the Quran, practice on it. Read a juz today, think, what is the message that's coming? There's a hukum, this hukum, then practice on it in the morning. And what is it that will stop us? What is it that will stop us from doing the sin? The nafs will take us to the sin, and we have to control the nafs and desires. And what is it? How do we control the desires? We don't shoot the nafs, do we? You can't fire a bullet to the nafs, can you? Whatever the nafs says, go opposite to it. The nafs says sleep, say I'm going to wake up. What am I going to do by sleeping? Whatever the nafs says, that eat halwa today, say, oh, I'll give you halwa. I'm not going to give you halwa, I'm going to fast tomorrow. Because if somebody's giving you halwa, haram, you can eat halal, halwa, halal. Don't be afraid that you can't have halwa. You can have eat halal, halwa, but don't go towards the haram earnings, a haram consuming haram. Halal you can have, but don't go towards the haram, because the nafs says, eat this haram, take this haram, and this haram. Who listens to it? So the nafs is giving me the dawah for haram. So you say, okay, fine, I'll kill you. So for 3 days I will keep the fast, you will say. I'm not going to eat the haram. So you will eliminate the haram from the nafs, from the foundation. One thought of haram comes to my mind, and this is called piety, my friends. If I think one thought of haram, but dhikr is the assistant, gives us strength and power. The doing dhikr is not piety. The piety is not equal to doing dhikr, or keeping the beard is not piety, or wearing the amama is not piety. No. All of this, these things are the means that will give us taqwiyah and piety, that when we fight the enemy, then these things will help us when we fight the desires, when we fight the opposition, which is our base desires, our nafs. So we make the niyyah, that, like I said to you, that you should definitely have a niyyah. Whenever you do a good deed, you say, Allah, why am I doing this good deed? Because I want to suppress my desires through this good deed. That the nafs, the imamah will stop me, the beard will stop me, it will oppose the nafs, the salah will oppose the nafs. I'm reading Quran. I'm not reading Quran for thawab. What thawab will I get? Yes, the thawab is there. that, you know, even a parrot can recite. The thawab, that's not there. We have to look towards the amal. So we're reading the Quran for this reason. This is your Quran pak, that whatever I read, I will do practice on it. On every word I will do amal. Every word I will practice upon it, Allah. So this whole message that has come today from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes against what? The nafs. The message of Allah says, do this, A, B, C, don't do X, Y, Z. What is Allah Ta'ala's deen telling us, training us against the nafs? We have read, I've read 15 juz. Oh, kiss the Quran. Allah forgive my father. Allah send the thawab to my father. Would I've just read the Quran and fulfilled the rights of the Quran. Is this the right of the Quran? This is the Quran for us today, isn't it? We think this is enough. And the kitab of the Quran for us today is this and nothing more. We say, oh, Surah Yasin. When do we recite Surah Yasin? When a person is about to die. We consider that this surah was read for this reason, that when a person is dying, then recite it at that time. Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the throne, why do we recite it? Oh, this person's got a jinn, I've got a jinn in me, influence me, and recite surah Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the Kursi. My brothers, the five subjects of the verse of the throne, Ayatul Kursi, if I get time, then I'll explain to you what is this message in Ayatul Kursi, and what is the message of the oneness of Allah. Take the message from the Quran. This is the book of the message. This is the message from Allah. And Allah gives the reward, the person who receives the message, total thawab reward he will earn from every word. If you read Alif, 10 rewards. Lam, 10 rewards. Meme, 10 rewards. That is when we'll get the reward. Understand the message. That Allah, you are telling me, you are talking to me, discussing with me, that don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. That this person's recited the kitab, whatever I've told you, these five qualities. Allah Ta'ala says that if you read the Quran like this, I swear by Allah, the three lines will be enough for you. Three lines of the Quran will be enough for you. So many messages will come to your life from the three lines that Alhamdulillah, you say Subhanallah. And you'll start to practice this all day long with the blessings of Allah. Totally. Then the next day you'll read more. Three lines. You get another message in the whole Quran from Alif, Lam, Mim. The three letters, you'll get so many messages, you'll be amazed. From Alif, Lam, Mim. Is this not the case? So this is how the Sufi is made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all successful. Now do tazkiyah. And today the meaning, the actual maqsad, objective of me speaking today, the markaz, the center point, the pivotal point, is to fight the desires. Successful will be that man or woman who suppresses the desires through salah, Quran, dhikr, sunnah of Rasulullah. One objective is to kill the desires. If the nafs, if the desires are not being suppressed, reduced, then everything we are doing is going down the drain. It's a waste and it's just a waste of time. One thing, Hazrat Abdul Ghani Rahmatullahi controlled his desires, went and asked for forgiveness from that man. He controlled his desires, fought his desires, suppressed his desires, and he became a great wali villa. So the life, our lives have changed. We have speeches and lectures. There's no benefit if we don't practice on what we understand and hear, and until we don't practice what we hear and learn, and we should have determination. I'm weaker than you. Let's have determination. Don't waste time. For the time to come is the time of honesty. Right and left will be decided. Allah will put everything. وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ Allah says, I will differentiate, separate the criminals and the good people. The day will come. Allah Ta'ala say, the day has come, the day of judgment. And the people on the right, the goodness will be on the right, and those on the left, the sinners will be on the left. There won't be a mixture like we're sitting in the masjid together. We don't know who's on the right and the left. Who's sinful, who's good. We don't know at the moment, do we? Allah says, I will separate everybody. Come on. Stand up. Oh, he was pious. Allah said, no, go, go. You come this way, you go that way. And the whole of the dunya will be looking at astaghfirullah. And if our hashar becomes like this, to the left and to the right, if we go to the left side, to the sinners, how sad it will be. What will be hal? Nobody in the world will influence us, help us, assist us. Nobody on the day of judgment will be interested in us. Allah will ask me, tell me that I told you everything. You had the Quran and you fell into the trap of your nafs and you didn't save yourself. You didn't come out of the trap. And I took you to dhikr. Allah will say, I gave you the wali wala, the pious company. I gave you Quran and the deen of Islam. And I allowed the Quran to come into your heart. How many people have got the Quran in their hearts? And Allah says, I gave you the masjids, the mosques. And I gave you everything. But you didn't leave your desires. You obeyed your desires. Wherever you went, you worshipped your desires. You went to the Kaaba with your nafs. You went to the road of Mubarak with your nafs. Medina with your nafs. Wherever you went with your nafs. And you wasted your time. And you never improved your life. Nor did you try. Allah will say, nor did you think. Nor did you intend. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.